Stephen, it's a little late to welcome you to Cincinnati, as you've now been here as curator for Contemporary Arts Center since early summer. But I do want to welcome you to our program, Around Cincinnati.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Your curatorial career has centered on contemporary art. You were curator at North Carolina's Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art before coming here, and you've held positions in the field at other institutions. What's the special pull of contemporary art for you as opposed to earlier periods?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of my curatorial practice comes from mining the eccentricities, idiosyncrasies, the embedded identity of a place. And so in the cities that I've curated within, Winnipeg, Winston-Salem, now Cincinnati, I find incredibly fertile richness in the histories of these cities, these very sort of eclectic tapestries and textures that I can mine. And I've translate my curatorial practice into a lens. And so I can look at the issues, the ideas that circulate within the city, and then try to connect them with a much larger sort of global discourse. And I find that contemporary art offers you that timeliness. Your sort of meaning is in process, and it's all part of a conversation. And so I love this idea that we can incorporate so many sort of broad fields and diverse interests into this sort of field of contemporary art and really tackle some important sociocultural issues, political issues, and then just also appreciate the beauty of contemporary art. And so I really love the nexus that contemporary art offers a curator as well as a city.
Well, you seem to have had a lot of ties to Canada in studying and in working. What is your relationship to Canada?
Yeah, I'm from Toronto, Canada, originally. I did my undergraduate at the University of Toronto, then left and did my master's at Bard College in upstate New York in Annandale and Hudson, but then soon after went back across the border and curated in Winnipeg at the Plugin Institute of Contemporary Art from 2005 to 2008. So Canada will always have a very special place in my heart, and I love the idea that public funding is much more available. It's become part of the tradition of art, and so I really strive to, I think, connect contemporary art with more of a public presence in the United States because it is a different system. And yet North America, I think, has a similar approach to art where it's one that we want to sort of break down some of the intimidations and preconceptions that can come along with contemporary art and really invite people in. I think that contemporary art becomes most active when it's part of a conversation. And so that's, I feel, one of my main tasks, to spark those dialogues, because that's when meaning truly comes alive.
Well, you've also been curator in residence in South Korea and in Berlin. And I'm tempted to say, compare and contrast, because these must have been widely different experiences.
Exactly, exactly. But they were two of the most profound, enriching experiences of both my personal and professional career. With Gwangju, it was part of the Design Biennale, and so I was there with 23 other young curators, very much immersed in that society for as much as immersion as you can get in a month's time, but really circulating within that community. And one of our major tasks was to create projects that would have a legacy. And so we were looking to create sort of a critical discourse webpage and connecting with a lot of local artist groups, while at the same time welcoming in this international coterie of artists, designers, architects. And it was amazing to see sort of just the sort of spectacle that art became in Gwangju, that it really became this vehicle to welcome a global culture. And so I was fascinated. It had been the first time that I'd been to an Asian country to just see the way that culture was very much held up as this jewel and that could be this sort of glue or this magnet that could attract people from all around the world. And then obviously you go to Berlin, which is sort of a very advanced contemporary art culture. But I compared it a lot of ways to an archipelago or this idea of all of these various islands. And even people in Berlin are not sure exactly what is happening on some of the other islands. And to me, every time I go back to Berlin, you discover a new little pocket or a new little niche. And that residency centered on the relationship between art and science. And so for me, again, it was this sort of new fascinating avenue that contemporary art allowed me to travel. And so all of that has very much informed and influenced my practice today.
But now you're in place at the CAC, mm-hmm. and the new season begins next weekend. Mm-hmm. Tell us about JR and what I understand is his first solo museum exhibition.
Exactly. We're so excited. And I think the CAC has carved out this place in the national landscape for allowing street artists to have this very sort of institutional, large-scale, spectacular presence. And we're very, very excited about this JR exhibition because it allows us to look at 10, 15 years of what JR has been doing internationally. And obviously, he's very well known for his works outside of the museum, and yet has a mind that is very in tune with that institutional presence, how to populate the white cube and how to make it a more porous space that could allow for more interaction between inside and outside. So we'll have an opportunity to look back at some of his really important projects, Wrinkles of the City, Face to Face, Women Are Heroes, all of these major monumental projects that had a global presence, and then allow him welcome into Cincinnati and allow him really to see how he can make us a more accessible and open space. So as much as we're focusing upon the presence inside the CAC, we're also, I think, allowing or devoting as much resources and attention to the public projects, the way JR will travel into Cincinnati and have that public presence that connects the two.
Well, another CAC show opens next weekend as well, Joey Versosa. Is this it?
Joey is a very endearing character. To me, he's as interesting as his artwork. And the title of the show is actually a play upon Michael Jackson's farewell tour, This Is It. And what he does is it's a very personal take on popular culture. I think a lot of us, as sort of swept up and taken as we are by popular film and music and television, it's often spoon-fed to us. It's delivered as a finished product, whereas Joey is trying to, I think, pull back a little bit of authorship, and he becomes this DJ, and so he's mixing little pieces of popular culture, adding in new pieces of music, changing the time signature to make it a more personal portrait. And yet these are not sort of dramatic transformations. I think he's trying to keep those pieces intact, but just rearrange them to make more of a collage portrait. And so we're really excited about that pairing between the local presence, that very sort of idiosyncratic character, with JR, this sort of very global presence, to see how they're both humanizing the environment in different ways.
You're deeply involved as curator in the rest of the shows that open during the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones that I'd like to hear about is next year's Bildering, Misbehaving the City. Tell us what Bildering means and what sort of misbehavior will be going on.
I'm very, very excited about this project because I've entered the CAC at a thrilling time for us. We're right at the confluence of three major anniversaries. We're celebrating the 10th year of the Zaha Hadid building, the 75th anniversary of the institution next year, and then the 25th anniversary of the Robert Mapplethorpe Perfect Moment exhibition in 2015. And so I was very captivated by this idea of the anniversary and how it often causes us to look backwards. And yet I wanted to take it as a moment that, yes, reflect upon the past, trace a chronology, but also think about memory as a creative act and use these sort of benchmark years as an opportunity to reimagine, to re-envision sort of what the organization, what the building is. I was thinking about exhibitions that could sort of manipulate, collaborate with the architecture, both of the CAC as well as the surrounding city, to reactivate it and to open up alternative meanings and purposes and sort of utilizations of these entities. So Bildering is actually a fusion of words. It combines building and the rock climbing term bouldering. And essentially, it's this hybrid word that speaks to an unsanctioned use of architecture that has now become as much a philosophy as a movement. It's described as urban acrobatics or parkour. There are sort of these movements popping up around the world. But it's this idea of trying to break, I think, the hypnosis of ritual that the city can condition, the way that we walk the same streets every day. It almost becomes second nature. And I think that we fail to recognize all the richness of the city around us by the very nature of sort of ritual. And so Bildering is trying to reopen both architectures as well as behaviors by this creative misuse of built structure of the urban environment and as well as the Contemporary Arts Center itself.
Thanks so much for coming by to fill us in on all that's going on at the CAC now.
It's my pleasure, Jane. Thank you so much. And please, yeah, we welcome the entire city to come and enjoy these exhibitions with us.
We've been talking with Stephen Matisio, curator at the Contemporary Arts Center, where new shows open next weekend. For more information, cwvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Jane Durrell.